Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Greasy Red Blues. I know it's been about a month, but we still here, y'all. It's your boy, the One P Shark.
Yo, what's good, everybody? This is Guy Trevor, aka the Corner Man, aka the 3D guy, aka Trillin' Brooks. What's good, everybody?
Trillin' Brooks. I don't even know what to say about that one. It's your man, Ed Tev. Shakir, what's going on, Greasy Nation?
Well, we're missing two members, but we have a guest, man. Y'all, I also know if you are on Twitter and like the interacting some Twitter spaces. I got, man, EJ from Grindhouse Greasy's Twitter spaces. How you doing, my guy?
How y'all doing, man? It's just a pleasure to be on with y'all guys, man, and excited to get started. And hopefully we get to roll into this next season, man.
Yeah, for sure. As y'all know, man, I have them plug everything at the end. But if y'all haven't checked them out, Greasy Spaces after every single Greasy's game, man, it's definitely great to be in. So we always do it. Every time we do it, we have first-time guests, we always do a Q&A with them. So the first question we have for you is, how did you become a Greasy's fan?
It's a long story, kind of. I went to my very first Grizz game. I think it was like 01. Tracy McGrady was on the Magic, and I was a huge Tracy McGrady fan. And that was
hey, all. We like you already, man. We like you already.
Yeah, I love you already, brother. And yeah, I know what game you're talking about. Because I was at that game too, so go ahead.
Yes, sir. And I it was actually my birthday, so my pops took me and all that, because I was a huge Tracy McGrady fan. And you know, that's when Powell and Stromae and all them was on the team. So I had always liked Stromae even coming out of college, so I kind of caught on then. But it was really when I got into college in 07-08 and watching Rudy. I think Rudy had dropped like 40-something, I think like 40 points or something like that against the Heat. This was the year before they got LeBron, and I had watched that game. And then that next season, LeBron was on the team, and Rudy hit the game winner over him. And from that point on, I've been watching every single Grizz game. So that's kind of my story on my Grizz fandom a little bit.
Nice, man. You said T-Mac, man. It's a bunch of T-Mac fans over here. Literally, all three of us are huge T-Mac fans. So, anyway, fit right on in. So, next question is, why did you start the Twitter spaces for the Grizzlies?
I just wanted to see some spaces and things like that, just to talk Grizzlies with fans and everything. And actually, Bryson Wright, y'all know Bryson off of Twitter. I don't have his at right now, but yeah, he actually started it early on in the season, and it would be like about four or five of us in there just chopping it up and whatnot about the games after games. And he wouldn't be able to do all of them like after every game because he's going to UT and doing some things. So I was just like, you know, I think a lot of people actually like doing this after every game, so I'm available like I have time to do it. So I'll start a page and start the space, and I asked him and another guy, are they cool with it? You know, I didn't want to step on anybody's ideas if they had any ideas, but they were cool with it. I started, you know, I made the page. I made it actually February 2nd. That's the day I made the page. And it just kind of rolled off through there, just making sure I show up after every game, any big news, anything like that. So that's kind of how it started. Shout out to Bryson, because like I said, he's the one that, you know, kind of got a little bit of us together to begin with.
Right off the top of your head, do you have like a most memorable Spaces moment?
Yeah, I have a few, but I know my first is probably Brevin Knight coming through the space. It was at the right. Jaws 47-point performance in the playoffs. You know, not to throw him under the bus, but you know, he came in a little lit. He was a little lit. He was even talking about it throughout the game and things like that, because they kept showing him on the camera. But yeah, that was probably my favorite moment, because you know, just growing up listening to Brevin all the time and everything like that, him and Pete, that was surreal for me. And I think my next one would probably be Jaws 52-point night, the Spurs night. That was crazy. That was an epic night. So those are my top two for sure.
And of course, we talked about like Brevin Knight, you know, being one of those voices for the Grizzlies, but we got a chance to watch him play for sure. As a Grizz fan, who were some of your other favorite Grizz players growing up?
I'm a huge Florida Gators fan. So Mike Miller, White Chocolate, Jason Williams, of course, those are two of my early favorites. You know, during that stretch where we were kind of interchanging a little bit, I was a big Mo Buckets fan. I don't know if y'all remember Mo Buckets, but Mo Buckets was my guy for a second. And then, of course, Z-Bo, man. Z-Bo is my all-time favorite Grizz. I think a lot of us can agree there that, you know, the way that he embraced the city, embraced the franchise and everything like that. I don't think anybody ever knew that we was going to get that out of Z-Bo, and the way he came in and changed the culture, that was special. So he's my all-time favorite Grizz for sure.
Nice, nice. And Mike, speaking of Mo Buckets, I definitely, man, I hated we had to trade him, because like him and Z-Bo just couldn't go exist together, and you couldn't put one of them at center. And it was like, man, he was serving when Z-Bo was hurt, when he was out for those like 20, 30 games, man. Mo Buckets was killing. So definitely miss Mo. But one last little note, I do want to say, like, man, your spaces are one of the cleanest spaces. You log into most Twitter spaces, it's chaos, right? It's just a whole bunch of people arguing over each other, yelling. And yours is like one of the more cleaners, like you cleaner ones. You like make sure like you're going to let everybody talk, but you make sure everybody go one at a time. I've always appreciated that. So, man. Definitely keep up the good work there. And of course, man, shout out to Bryson, fellow GB beer along with us. So, man, he's definitely good people. So, man, you in the right club. Last question.
Real quick, short, but before you do that, as far as the spaces go, because it is very clean, do you think it got that way because of growing like a core fan base? Or, you know, do you think it's because you set the tone right after the game start? You set the vibe when people knew, even new people coming in, you let them know, hey, this is what we do. You know, in this space, is like, which one do you think is more contributed?
I think just, you know, getting started, you know, with the little small family that we had at first, that helped. Also, you know, I went around to other spaces listening in or tried to join in, and like y'all said, you know, they're all cussing each other, all yelling at each other, things like that. I can't deal with it like that.
With one voice at a time in my ear. So yeah, it just setting it straight off, you know, right at the game, just letting people know, hey, you know, giving the breakdown of the game a little bit, and then just saying, hey, I'm gonna let y'all come up and just praise the team, man, because I don't like to hear a lot of negativity all the time either. I like to praise these guys, especially a young group of guys like we have. And not to say that they listen in or anything like that, but you always want to put something positive into the air. So I try to and really is some of our other listeners as well, like a lady named Miss Nicole. She usually sets the room up early too. Like, she'll say something very positive, no matter how, you know, the situation, and it kind of just rolls off with everybody else.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's like we say, man. It's a lot of crazy spaces out there. You just can't even bear listening to it. So, man, you definitely do a good job with that one. The final question, kind of piggyback off of your favorite all time Grizzlies player. What's your all time Grizzlies starting five?
Man, that's tough. I mean, it's grit and grind here. Of course, the Conley, Tony Allen. I guess the year with like Courtney Lee kind of was in there. I was a Courtney Lee guy coming out of college when he was coming out of college and things. So probably that year, and then Z-Bo Mark for sure.
So we got Mike Conley, Courtney Lee, Tony Allen, Z-Bo, and Mark, pretty much.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure that is.
Yeah.
It's not a bad team, though.
Right. I respect it. I was so glad when that season started, they announced they were going to start Tony Allen and Courtney Lee together. Because, you know, they were like battling for the two guard spot. And they was like, you know what? We're going to start both of them. I was like, fine with me. That was perfect. I really did like Courtney Lee when he was at Western Kentucky. So. Yeah, that's a solid one, man. Courtney Lee is definitely a name that we have heard from anyone else. Mike Conley, too, of course, because John Morant. So, man, definitely outside the box. But moving forward, man, to our topics. Really quick, like I said, we've been out for a month. Really haven't been much to talk about. We have other podcasts and new podcasts on the network now that's been talking about the schedule and stuff. So we trying to remix some things. So first question, of course, this aftermath is Kevin Durant staying in Brooklyn now. But we're still going to discuss the Grizzlies. Kind of, you know, get it involved in it somewhat. So the Grizzlies apparently expressed interest in Kevin Durant. They were going to utilize the 5 first-round draft picks and any number of players that did not include Jaren Jackson and Desmond Bane. So my question for everyone, what are y'all thoughts about the Grizzlies and really the Grizzlies saying, hey, we're going to protect our core players and on the way we get involved in this trade, We can't include them. What are y'all thoughts? How y'all feel about the Grizzlies expressing that?
This is more so the Grizzlies just kind of it's just kind of like when you're going fishing. You're casting your rod out just to see if you can get the Brooklyn Nets to bite on a potential deal, because the Grizzlies know Kevin Durant wants out. The Brooklyn Nets won't know that Kevin Durant wants out. So they knew at some point in time, because I believe with this last rumor about the trade that was leaked by the Nets, Memphis knew that at some point they was looking to get rid of Jaren. They were going to have to get rid of Jaren or Desmond Bane just to even be in the sweepstakes of getting Kevin Durant. And I think coming out and saying like, hey, we're not including Jaren Jackson Jr. nor Desmond Bane in a trade deal for Kevin Durant was kind of a way of them saying like, hey, this is where we are on our end. We'll give you these 5 first-round picks. We'll include Steven Adams. We'll include Dylan Brooks. You just give us KD and whatever else you could give us, and then that's that on that. And then when Brooklyn pulled out and basically said no, I don't even think Brooklyn pulled out and said no. I think I figured that a deal wasn't going to get done, because, again, it was just the Grizzlies just trying to test the waters and see if Brooklyn was going to eventually bite on a deal. And fortunate for us, Brooklyn didn't. So that's that on that. But as far as the Grizzlies having interest in them, it's Kevin Durant, one of the top 3 scorers of all time, if you really want to look at it. So why not try to cast something out and see if the Brooklyn Nets would bite on a deal?
Yeah, for me, I just thought, like, it was smart, you know, not to include Jaren and Bane, so you don't have that rolling down the hill later on. Kind of like Boston kind of included Jaylen Brown, and the Hawks kind of included some names in there, things like that. So you don't want to have that discourse in your locker room. So that was smart not to put those guys in there and have it in the news that you wasn't going to include those two guys. I mean, of course, I would have loved Kevin Durant. I talked about it in space plenty of times, that be able to get a guy like that and what he would mean. But, you know, I think Kleiman and the organization really is honed in on trying to draft these guys and try to build the way that they best see fit. You know, they kind of like these guys with great family environments as well, like, you know, raised in a good family or still around their family a little bit. And then also just trusting each other, because I think it was Jaren or Bane, you know, earlier in the season, they had an article. I think it was with with Sports Illustrated or something, like, or The Athletic. And they were like, you know, we're going to stick together as long as our egos don't get involved. That was their main stance. So these guys understand what it takes to stay together and try to win together. And you don't really see that with a lot of younger guys like that. A statement like that is pretty big, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm glad that they decided not to break them up.
So for those new listening into this pod, I'm the big Kevin Durant fan in this on this podcast. For lack of better words. So
huge.
This whole thing was going, what up, Sheedy? this whole thing was kind of just had me kind of everywhere, you know, emotional wise. But as far as the Nets go, I knew they weren't going to trade him to an Eastern Conference team because he got 4 years left on his deal. Why would they do that and send him to competition? As far as the West go, if you look at the team that could have had Kevin Durant has what the Brooklyn Nets will want, it will be the Memphis Grizzlies above everybody else. We got the young pieces. We got the picks. The Nets would have won it. And that's that on that. I think that the call out last week for the Nets and the Grizz was literally the Nets' last chance to try to get something done for KD. And I think that the front office literally chose winning later than winning now. And what I mean by that is because you do get Kevin Durant. Yes, it would have been year 14, 15, whatever, but he's still, in my eyes, the greatest scorer to ever play this game. You could have had him if you would have included Jaren Jackson, you know, and, you know, we talk about it spot all the time, like, who would we trade Jaren for? If Kevin Durant's there, me personally, I'm in win now mode because I see the team that I have. Why not go out for Kevin Durant? You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping Bane for sure. You know, a band backcourt with Bane and Jaren and then KD right there, that's crazy. But I think, like I said, the team really wanted to go for win later. We're going to see how our draft picks play out. We still got Zaire coming. We got a great bunch of young guys coming this year. So I think that's what they chose and rather going for KD. But I think this would have been a perfect team for Kevin Durant as far as veteran leadership goes as well. But that's just me as well.
And before Sheedy is now on, before Sheedy go on to respond to that, remember that rookie extension rule. Jaren couldn't get traded because of Ben Simmons. That rookie extension thing. We had to take Ben Simmons back, some type of thing like that. And I don't know about want Ben Simmons.
We could have traded him.
You think so?
It would have. Yeah, because Jaren's not on a max contract. If it was a max contract, we wouldn't.
Okay.
But who said to make there? Somebody put Jaren Jackson on that list earlier.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson was on that rookie extension list. Yeah. Like
Bob Marks had him on that list. Yeah. But either way, to Tuke's point, yeah, if you could have traded. I think you traded one of them, either Bane or Jaren. Yeah, you made the deal. You traded both of them. I think that would have been nice. Okay.
You could trade both of them. It was going to take at least one to try to get Durant, but.
Nah. And Jaren's contract with a better match because Bane's still on his rookie deal.
He's on his rookie deal.
So he's
coming up soon.
Yep, that'll be next year. We'd be signing him to his extension. Yeah. So to Tuke's point, yeah, I would have pulled the trigger. You know, we could have included one of them. But I understand because just like EJ said earlier about Boston, you come out, Jaylen Brown was included in, right? If you end up not getting Kevin Durant, you know, the team is all locked in, close-knit together. You end up not getting KD, and that comes out that you included one of them. You know, that could do anything to the locker room. You have Jaylen Brown over here on Twitter, you know, talking about Boston. So it's kind of worked to the advantage. And the Grizz is new. Like one of y'all said, that the Nets were in a position where it's due at that time now. The Grizz is one about to get desperate and say we're going to give up one of them. Like, hey, take this. Hey, we can roll with what we got. So I respect it from all parties. And yeah. Sheedy, you just came on. The question was how you feel about the Grizzlies not included. Well, Grizzlies expressing interest in Kevin Durant and deciding not to include Jaren Jackson or Bane in a potential deal.
Not including Jaren Jackson Jr. or Bane. I went on Twitter to say, if Kevin Durant is available, and I know I said this the other day, Kevin Durant is one of the top three best players to play right now. And if he is available in any way, shape, or form, 29 teams need to be calling the Brooklyn Nets. And that includes the Memphis Grizzlies. And you trade for whatever, I agree with you, you win now attitude. However, however, Triple J gonna have to go. And I'm sitting Triple J and everyone else. And to me, I think the two people that are untouchable are Ja Morant and Desmond Bane in this scenario. So I would rather include Triple J, of course. And then I think Durant and Morant together, the Ants, could do pretty well. But, you know, KD needs another shooter with him, which will be Desmond Bane. I don't think it's really Triple J. And Triple J can kind of like start anew in Brooklyn, so to speak, with him and Ben Simmons and Kyrie. But neither here nor there right now.
Yep. Of course, this is what it is because Kevin Durant is remaining in Brooklyn, at least throughout this season. So just wanted to mention it because of the whole, you know, the Grizzlies expressed interest in him deciding to stay in Brooklyn the day after that came out. So we won't have to worry about that for at least another year. It could come back up next year that he wants to get traded. But right now, we're sticking with what we got. Jaren Jackson missed the first team all defense. Hopefully, she'll be coming back by Christmas. We have a Christmas Day game this year, fellas, against the Golden State Warriors. Mr. Klay Thompson called Triple J a bomb, so we need him back to go on here and show Klay Thompson who the real bomb is. But how y'all feel about the Grizzlies? Like, you know, the grind it took for us to get to this point. 28 national TV games, 18 games that's on ESPN, TNT/ABC, the other 10 on NBA TV. We're here now, man. How does it feel to finally be here?
I was just going to say, it feels great, man. You know, like you said, 28 national TV games, including NBA TV. That's amazing. You know, at first you would think before the whole KD deal goes down, like, oh, well, maybe they know something we don't know. And then, you know, the KD thing falls apart and everything like that. So it's just crazy how, you know, the Grizzlies are a national team to be able to watch now. You know, I think we're one of the most fun watch teams in the league as a whole. With our division and everything like that, you got the Pelicans. They're going to be exciting to watch this year as well with Zion back. And then you got the Mavericks doing well. But and I think they ended up with a little bit more national TV games than us. But you could tell for our division going down the road, we're going to be on TV a lot heading here in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years or whatever. And I mean, the bad part is it for me, once again, is not being able to hear Braven and Pete on the regular now. I think they still be able to play the Bally Sports when they're on ESPN and everything like that. But I know TNT, they're not going to be able to broadcast. So it's going to suck not being able to hear those guys on the regular. But as far as the franchise and the team, it can't get any better. They say we're a small market because of population, but our market as far as NBA goes and the way that the numbers are about to be driven, it wouldn't be surprising to me if we end up like top five at the end of this season as far as marketability goes with jersey sales and all that stuff. So it's really good for the game for sure. And hopefully Ja will be able to get his signature shoe out of all this soon as well.
Yeah, that's next up on the list is Ja Morant getting the signature shoe at this point. I just feel ecstatic right now that we were actually able to get this amount of national televised games, more so the Christmas game, more so than anything else. I don't really have much to say. I'm just excited. I'm just happy that the Grizzlies are finally being recognized just a slight bit because it's still much more that we need to cover. And to EJ's point, man, I don't like it when these games are nationally televised and Pete and Brevin are not able to call these because half of these analysts on TNT and ESPN probably haven't even watched one Grizzlies game all season, don't even know much about the Grizzlies outside of maybe Ja Morant and some highlight they probably saw on the top 10. And that's my only gripe with it. But I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So you got to take some of the bad with most of the good. So kudos to the Grizzlies. We are here. We ain't going nowhere. The next 10 years will be Memphis's in some shape, form, or fashion. So that's all I got to say.
And I say we're more national TV games. They should know more about us. I mean, they should be watching us more, hypothetically. So we'll see. But I would hope that's the case, that they would know a little more information about the Grizzlies. We're us having more games. So they should already have seen us more often than they would have seen us when we didn't have as many games.
Sorry, my turn, right? All right. The thing that I like most about the TV games, honestly, is the ability to play on Christmas Day. To y'all's point, Memphis has come very far, man. And for us to not just have an MLK Day game, but a Martin Luther King Day game, but also as well, Rivalry Week. Memphis Grizzlies will be a part of that too in January. And that is because of social media. That's because of Ja. That's because of Draymond snapping at each other, along with Clay and Triple J as well. But, like, the NBA gets it, and they get that the Memphis Grizzlies deserve to be on national TV. And for them to be at a primetime game on Christmas Day at 7 o'clock is pretty cool to know that. But, again, also having us for Rivalry is great. And they're saying that we are must-see TV, but it's really Ja. Ja's must-see TV, right? And we thoroughly enjoy that, one of the best point guards in the league, and we look forward to a great season. But to your point, we got to win these national televised games too. Sometimes we've been shooting ourselves in the foot. We get them, then we're not looking as good as we could be when they are televised.
Yeah, speaking of the Christmas game, it kind of make me wish that the Kevin Durant trade would happen even more, right? If we're talking about the best rivalry in the NBA right now, it is the Warriors and the Grizz. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. The rivalry will continue to shine. And shout out to the NBA for recognizing its audience. You know, it's something that everybody wanted to see, from the players even. You know, everybody on social media wanted to see the Warriors and Grizzlies play, you know, on Christmas. So, but it's not even just about the Christmas games. Like, we had games where Usher will pull up. You know what I'm saying? Like, the star power that's willing to come to Memphis, to come to, quote-unquote, a lower-level, lower-market team, whatever you want to call it. Players will come. People will come. Like, our social media game is by far the most social media, the best social media accounts on, you know, any, I'm willing to say any team sports in my opinion. Shout out to Devin and them. But I think that has something to do with the reason why we got 28, you know, national televised games. It's because we're on social media. It's because Ja is responding to people. It's because, you know, the culture of Memphis, like, you know, it, I think, like, even 10 years back when the whole Grin Grind era was going, ESPN literally had Memphis ranked the number one team in professional sports that year. And it's because of the fan base. It's because of the fans. It's because of the city. We're going to support the Grizz when they're doing their thing. And we're going to have the FedEx Forum packed damn near every game now. So I think that'll be great to see. My only request is that ESPN kind of refresh on Memphis knowledge and know that there's more outside of Elvis Presley to happen inside of Memphis. That's all. That's my only request. Because the whole Signs of Grace on Everywhere by Stephen A. had him looking like a dunk the other day. There aren't too many signs about Elvis in Memphis, but that's all I got to say. Get some more Memphis history. We got the number one rap game. We got the Nike factory out there. We got everything else going on besides
a lot of what transpired on this earth in some shape or form has come from Memphis. So let's just keep it what it is.
It's so much, not to mention Bill. It's so much other than Elvis that people would love about the city of Memphis. But of course, basketball being number one, and shout out to the NBA for recognizing that Memphis continuously is a basketball city.
And they just might be better now. I mean, I haven't really watched ESPN lately, but every time I hear Stephen A, he's saying something good about Memphis Grizzlies lately.
It was all Elvis, bro. It was all. No,
I'm talking about recent. I'm talking about recently. I'm talking about, like, me too. Last couple of weeks. When I said something about Elvis. Well, yeah, I don't watch ESPN. Okay, I said I don't watch it. I just know when he saw
New York Knicks. That movie just came out. Oh yeah, they finna go right. They need to keep that in the movie theater.
I just know when the Grizzlies came out, when the schedule came out, he saw the Knicks. You know, he a Knicks fan, and he saw they play the Grizzlies. He was mad. He's like, damn, bro, the Grizzlies better kick our ass. but yeah, man. like, man, we here now. It's great. I mean, we've been clamoring for this. And to Sheedy and Trevor's point, the fact we got more national TV games, I expect us to perform better. It is easy when you only have two games to have a letdown when you find on national TV because, I mean, you're on there twice. So I can see them not playing like themselves. When you got 28, you're on there quite often now. You know everybody watching. They had to play off a run where they was on national TV games on every playoff game. So I think I'm not really as worried on that end, but close to see how the roster shakes out. Hopefully Triple J comes back sooner. We'll get to all those topics a little bit later. Like I said, I don't want to keep, you know, beating dead horse. We all different podcasts and we all talk about the same thing. So that's part of the reason we've been out for a whole month as well. If anybody's been wondering, we still here, started five.
We was tired, y'all. We was tired.
And we had nothing to talk about either.
We was had a break, y'all.
All right, man. That does it for this episode. EJ, you a great guest, man. Appreciate you coming on. Let everybody know where they can follow you at.
Yeah, y'all can follow me on at Spaces Grizzlies or at EJ2K19 on Twitter. You know, thank y'all for all the followers that I have gotten since February when I started the whole thing. Thanks for all the supporters listening in and everything like that. You know, I'm not on numbers or anything like that. Like, numbers don't draw me or make me any bigger or anything like that. So, you know, I just show up, like I said, after every Grizz game. Just love talking about the team and everything like that. And super excited for this next season.
For sure, for sure. Like I said, man, please give them a follow. Very clean cut run spaces. I think you also is probably you was thinking about doing the Tennessee Titans spaces as well. Am I correct?
Yeah, some of them trying to get me to do it. I'll probably pop up for the first game and see how it goes. But if it ever runs into Grizzlies Titans, I'm always gonna rock with the Grizz first.
All right, no doubt, man. I had to get with you. I'm a Titans.
If the Titans win, he'll do it. If the Titans lose, he ain't gonna do it. That's what I
said. Well, I'm a Titans fan, so we need to link. We'll link up, man. I'll probably get with you on it, man. Definitely Russell Titans spaces. But y'all know, man, y'all can listen to us on any podcast and platform. Remember, listen to us and all the new podcasts we got. The Next Gen podcast about our guy Bryson Wright that we mentioned earlier. The new revamped Core 4 podcast. Greasy Bear Bets is probably going to start when the season starts. They're going to do some game day bets. And, of course, the recurring by Parker Fleming, GBP Live, along with our podcast. Remember to follow me on Twitter at the one, DAONE_PSHARK.
Yes, I'm at the Art of Trevor. Remember, of is a preposition, so the first letter of each word besides of is capitalized.
Hey, Cap, I like that little beat you dropped on your name, man. You got to start using that more often, man. But it's really Sheedy passing it down to the big fella.
Yes, sir. And it's at Tab Shakir, man. Hey, Cap, keep getting your Spider-Man on, climbing builders, and finding dope Ja Morant pictures to take pictures with and going viral. Keep doing your thing.
Exactly.
Keep doing your thing, bro.
Exactly.
For sure. Got a couple of haters in the comments I saw, but you know. When you get who, big, yeah.
Can't please everybody.
I don't
entertain exactly. People can't please everybody. I was just about to say that.
I muted them and kept moving. Of course, follow our fifth member who will be back. Of course, _ Skylito, and follow our Twitter page as well at the starting five, the number five. But to next time, we probably won't be another month off. Because the training camp bills are
we're getting closer to training camp, so right.
We're back, y'all. We're back, man.
But to next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.